there. Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
It's Thanksgiving and 30 Dirty and Dying.
Pass the cranberry sauce.
We're having mashed potatoes!
All the turkey looks great.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for being there.
Everyone's thanking.
The whole world's thanking you.
Thanking us for thanking you. Killed the turkey. I've been watching nonstop recently. I'm on a big Bob's Burgers kick.
I'm a big Bob Burger fan.
Me too. I love it. Who's your favorite?
Linda.
I think Linda. I also really love Louise.
She's great.
Yeah. And there's something really amazing about Bob just going, oh my God.
I did such a good impression.
Yeah. Welcome to the Thanksgiving episode of 30 Dirty and Dying. It will probably have a little less singing than the Thanksgiving episodes of Bob's Burgers, but we will do our fucking best.
We can always make something into a sing song.
I'm sure we can. It's going to be a little harder today, though, because we decided to do a real talk.
About family.
Yeah, so
oopsies.
Sometimes on Thanksgiving, we've done like games and things for people to play along with, but we've done a lot of games recently. So if you're more into listening to that on your holiday, we've got that for you too. Just listen to other episodes in addition to this one. But we thought this would be a good one because we're doing a real talk about going no contact and cutting people off. And sometimes that happens with family members.
And that can be hard for the holidays.
Yeah, it's the holidays. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas, and other winter holidays are coming up. So if you are someone who has gone no contact or you're considering going no contact, this is a relevant topic for this time of year because you're probably dealing with I don't want to say the fallout, but like, it's not that, it's sometimes it doesn't feel that different when you're just going through your life on a random Tuesday.
But when it's the holidays and holidays are known to be family oriented, it can be a struggle to kind of navigate that.
This is going to be part of it. Like what holidays look like from this point on, if you've always had holidays with family members that you're not having a part of your life anymore. So we've both had our experiences with going no contact and cutting people off, whether it's family, friends, whatever. And I do think as you get this, one of those topics where with our real talks, we try to think about things that have shifted or maybe the dynamics have changed as you're getting into this stage of life. And I think this is certainly one of those because you're kind of settling down into your own life and family or whatever. And figuring out how much of like your young life, your childhood, it can be hard to figure out what you want to carry on with and what you want to not. Because it's easy to just go along to get along, but maybe you don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. You know? This is usually when those kind of decisions start to come out. So we thought we'd talk about it. So happy Thanksgiving. I maybe wouldn't recommend playing this during dinner.
Or maybe do, and maybe it can get a conversation and you can just leave.
Yeah, that too. If you really need a reason to fucking bounce, I guess you could just play this loud on a Bluetooth speaker.
Loud and proud.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, if this is maybe one of your first holidays or Thanksgivings after going no contact and you're questioning your decision and you feel a little weird about it, maybe this will help, I don't know, make you not feel so alone and normalize some of the things that you've been thinking about to make this decision. So it's definitely something that we have experience with. So we're just trying to kind of, you know, talk about it, spread some information about it. Not, I mean, we'll use sources and things, but also just our own experiences and what we know. And maybe this will help somebody just not feel so alone, or not feel so, like, crazy.
Guilty?
Yeah, guilty, and, like, you're the crazy one for even considering this or doing this if you're going no contact with someone.
But first...
First, we're gonna have a little fun, and we're gonna go back in time.
Back in time. All right. All right.
All right. So it is 2013. 2010s.
Yep.
Quite a decade. It was my time in college, like ending high school and going into college, so.
It was near the end of my college.
Gotcha. But yeah, so like young adulthood, having some fun, you know.
I met Mike.
That's fun for you?
Yeah.
I didn't. I mean, I met him probably.
Probably.
I didn't meet my.
I'm sure he came to movie theater. Were you at movie theater at that point? Probably.
So 2013 was actually the year that I left the movie theater, because I graduated high school and went into college. So I was back for like holidays and breaks and stuff for the first year. And then after that, I don't think I came back. So I probably did meet him, but I probably didn't get to know him until a little later.
Yeah. And we did, Mike and I like came to your college.
That's true.
To visit.
But I think that was like after I stopped coming back.
I think so.
I feel like that was 2014 or 2015 even.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I was with somebody.
yes,
else, mm-hmm. a boyfriend, and I was not with that person in 2013.
Okay, because you were with that person when we visited.
Yes,
because we went to a bar.
It wouldn't have been in 2013.
I don't think we traveled together at that point.
Yeah, I mean, probably not, right?
No, not at the beginning.
No. So, yeah, in 2013, I was dating someone else from the movie theater, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have a picture on my social media that I went back and found where I tagged this person. Because I don't think anybody knew at this point, well, no one knew until it was over and it got weird, where I was in a Hot Topic and I found a mask of the, I think they're called the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who.
Never watched
it. I didn't either, but he was really
into it.
There's
something about a telephone booth box.
They time travel, so, yeah. I mean, maybe.
And there's different doctors.
Yeah.
It changes.
I mean, are we Doctor Who? Like, we time travel.
Yeah, we're back in time right now.
We cry a lot. Oh. I think you're an angel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did cry today.
Of course you did. But no, they were like statues or something. I don't know, but it was a mask. And I put it over my face and posted it, and I tagged him. But that's actually how I found out that I was blocked, like, several years later.
Is going back, and it's no longer...
Yeah, it's just his name. And I was like, it's been like 10 years. What the fuck is this? But, yeah. So, I was on the social medias. I have some posts.
Oh, I have some posts as well.
All right. So, one thing I can say for sure is Bitmoji was fucking killing it. I have a Thanksgiving one. Look at me. Cute-ass little pilgrim. I also have one that says I'm definitely calling in sick today.
I posted a bunch about how I was sick.
Oh, my God. We were just sick. Sick.
Sick.
Sick.
That dick.
That dick. I have this one that I have no idea why I posted this. I love my family. I'm really lucky to have such great support and love in my life. Just a thought of life. Smiley faith.
I posted, I really need a day between Saturday and Sunday.
Me too. Now more than ever. See, I also posted one that I'm like, I want to punch myself in the face because it's, God, I need a vacation. Bitch, shut up. No, you don't. I was fucking 19. My life was a vacation. This was before I had my breakdown. So...
You were still killing it.
Yeah. What did I need a vacation from? Honestly. Other than, like, my childhood. Which I got. Because I moved away.
Yeah.
Now I need a vacation. Now I need 5 days between Saturday and Sunday. I need a weekend week.
Yeah.
Ooh, I also acted in a haunted house.
I think I went to it.
Yeah. I acted in it for 2 years, so... 2013 would have been the second and last year.
I think it was the second year that I went to it.
I don't think you went when I was doing it.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
But I did. I acted into the year before, and then I actually came back from college to act in this because I really enjoyed doing it. They were great. I was so this second year I would have been, they put me in the blood room.
Nice.
And I was in a white hospital gown and I was toeing blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in like a bunk bed, for lack of a better word. And I would kind of, like, reach out or, like, throw myself out of the bunk bed. And I really fucked myself up a little bit. I was committed.
Mike has bruises all over his arms.
Yeah, I was fucked up. Like, I remember the first year especially, because they always give you, like, bruises around your eyes. And they did that kind of stuff. But after the first couple days, I didn't need any more makeup. I was just fucked up. I was like, I'm bleeding!
I feel like 2013 was the start of, well, I always made stupid posts.
Absolutely.
But I meant, like, my jokes.
Oh, yeah. But
I wonder if caterpillars know they're going to fly someday, or they just start building a cocoon like, oh my god, why am I doing this?
This is my favorite thing you've ever posted. I love it every time you say it. Our friend from the movie theater, Dan, posted a link to one of those Onion articles, those satire articles, yeah. And it was... To me, like, on my timeline, because I think we were making fun of this movie. But it was, poor bastard who just wanted to see After Earth is really taking some shit from a theater employee. I love that.
I said, I say this a lot, but it's seriously crazy to think about how much has changed in a single year. To look back at this time last year, who I was with, what I made a priority, I'm just lucky to have so many people in my life who care about me, support me, and push me through everything. I'm seriously almost always happy now. I'm never going back. And I didn't.
No, you didn't. Not really. Not to that. I mean, you weren't ever quite as insufferable as you were before you met Mike. You had some fun, like, guest appearances, but it was never that bad again. I will say there was when you were, Joshua. You were fine. But I really hated that time. I think because I didn't like him.
Yeah.
I always thought he was a fucking weirdo. Not because of you. Like, I knew him. Godspeed. But, like...
I'm waiting, because, like, I still have him on Instagram. So, like, I'll see, like, when he posts things. Like, I don't delete people.
I do. Immediately.
I don't.
Speaking of cutting people off, I delete people on the internet and in real life.
I don't.
You're dead to me. Even if, like, nothing happened.
See, and here's the thing, though. Like, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, but I don't
care. And, like, I still, like, cared about him. Yeah. I just knew that it wasn't, like, between us, and it wasn't gonna work, and I was gonna treat him poorly. It was all me. And, like, as cliche as that sounds, it's not you, it's me. It literally was.
Well, yeah.
And I was mature enough.
But to be fair, he...
To cut it off.
He was weird. I would have been really unhappy if he would have ended up with him. Just, like, I would have never offered to, like, double date.
we never have.
No, but, like, if Mike comes over and hangs out, or if we go do, like, I don't worry about that at all. Yeah. If you were still with Joshua, I would be like, Justin, just like, lock yourself in the bedroom. You're gonna make him cry. I would make him cry. You know what I mean? Well, Mike can hang.
Well,
Joshua cried at the drop of a hat. I'm sure of it.
Anyways.
But, no, I like to cut people off. And the one time I didn't, and the one time I was like, maybe we could be friends again someday, they blocked me. So... And I don't even understand why. Like, nothing happened. They blocked me years later.
I don't know, man.
Because we had talked a few times. Like, not in a, you know, like, rekindling kind of way. Yeah. But just chit-chat or, like, commenting on posts. Or nothing flirty. At least to me it wasn't.
Yeah.
But then after that I was blocked.
Hmm.
And I don't know why.
The world may never know.
No. Anyways, 2013.
I posted, here are 10 things that most people don't know about
me. I love this. I'm sure we've done this before, yeah. But I want to do it again. Tell me the things.
Okay.
And I want to see if I know them about you.
Number one.
Okay. Or if they're still true.
I find this extremely hard to do because I feel like I'm a very open person.
You are.
Two, I don't wear makeup.
That's also true. And I know that about you, though, because I can see your face.
Three, I take baths, not showers.
Okay.
I do prefer baths. I don't quite fit as I used to. A little bit more difficult, because I'm like this. But also the bath at Grandma's when I lived with Grandma was significantly bigger.
Well, it was like an older house. Those baths are
And it big. wasn't a bath-shower combo. It was just a bath.
Oh, I got you.
So, like, it was a larger bath. So I was all about the baths.
I prefer... Here's the thing. I take way more showers, but to me, it's easier to, like, just hop in the shower.
Yeah.
To clean yourself mm-hmm. and then... leave.
Yes.
I love to take a bath.
Yeah.
And I can also take a very efficient bath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can take a bath almost as quickly as I can take a shower once I'm in there.
But I like to relax.
I do too.
I like the bubbles. I like it to be scalding hot to where my skin is red.
It steams.
Steams.
It steams.
If it doesn't look like I'm not sweating,
yeah,
I'm not having a good time.
If it doesn't look like I am cooking myself, like there's steam coming off and I'm sweating and I'm suddenly rotisserie chicken. It's not a good bath.
Yeah.
But I actually said this the other day to someone. I was like, I loved the idea of getting in a bath and just relaxing mm-hmm. and chilling. And I will do it. But I can't stay in there for very long because I'm just like, after like 5 or 10 minutes, I'm like.
Oh, I'm in there for like an hour.
See, I used to do that.
Until it gets cold and I'm uncomfortable. Cold.
No, I constantly like add hot water.
I'll
do that
too.
But I just find myself, I used to do that, but now it's like I enjoy it, I like it, but if I try to just like take a bath for the hell of it, after I've been in there for a few minutes, I'm like, I could go.
Yeah.
And then I do.
I'm just reading or TikToking.
I read some, but then even after that, I'm like, man, I would love to just get out and get into bed.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways.
Yeah, hit me with some more.
Number four. I'm honestly not looking forward to quitting movie theater when I find a big girl job. Seriously.
You loved it. I know.
I loved it.
You were having
and
a real
I'm
crisis
so,
about that.
And I still think about it to this day. Uh-huh. I still have dreams that I'm working there. I'm not going to lie.
I love that for you.
Five. And I hate that I even said this.
Okay.
I almost don't want to say it.
Say it.
Despite what I say, I don't mind country music deep, deep down.
It's not bad, Courtney.
I like the country pop.
The alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the crap. The country rap. I hate that I said this.
Do it.
I hate that I said all of this.
Yeah, me too.
Number six. Ahead. One day, I would just like to be a stay-at-home mom.
We literally just had a conversation about you getting your uterus sucked out. So that's insane.
Oh my God, I want to kill myself from this.
Okay.
I'm the type of girl that would want to play Call of Duty or other games like that.
Liar!
Duty, oh my God. Are you shitting me right now?
Breaking news, she's not like other girls.
I'm not like other girls. I'll be on it.
Yeah. She Fuck wears off. Short skirts. I wear t-shirts.
I mean, I did. I never, like, wore short skirts. Okay. I was too fat.
Does that make you special? No.
Maybe fat. Although I did, there was a Call of Duty game, I think, that I played. And it was, like, zombies or something?
I've never played it, and I never pretended to, either.
So I did play that.
I was never that kind of poser.
Oh, whatever. 8, I'd rather wear pants over a dress or skirt any day.
Who says I can't wear my Converse?
See, here's the thing, though. Now, I'd rather wear skirts and dresses, because I don't want to wear pants.
Here's the thing. I'm not going outdoors. No. So, no pants here. I mean, I'm wearing pants today, but I regret it.
This is so stupid.
I can't wait. This will be the finale.
No, there's 2 more.
Okay, well.
9. I love the smell of ground beef when it's cooking in the skillet.
I smell like beef.
I smell like beef.
Okay.
And then 10. I creep better than the FBI.
You fucking do.
I do. Like, if you want a number, just like my status and I'll give you one.
I want 5. Give me the number 5. A combo meal. Okay, so. Billboard list. Blurred Lines.
Oh, shit.
I know you want it. Look.
That's
It's a
up.
Terrible song, but it's also very fun if you don't think about what it's saying.
It is.
It's a key song.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
And I hate that. It is a blurred line. But I also, when it came out, didn't even think about it, you know?
No one did. I didn't. We did a whole unit on it in one of my gender studies classes, and I was like,
the fuck?
This is about, oh my God. Is this fucking play
I also,
about us?
I also heard that on the, like, in the making of the music video.
Yeah.
The girl who, like, played the person, like, he was really fucked up, too.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, allegedly, whatever, but it doesn't surprise me. Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
Get Lucky.
That was pathetic.
Yeah.
We
but
suck.
But I know. I'm up all night to get some. I'm up all night for good fun.
I'm up all night to get lucky. Came out in 2012, but the Taylor Swift song, I Knew You Were Trouble.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Shame on me.
I don't know. I know the goat.
Places you've never been.
That was one of my favorite, like, memes.
Yeah.
That was still top tier. We Can't Stop.
We Can't Stop.
And we won't stop. Also, Wrecking Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love. That song, like, really fucks with her. Like, she barely sings it now.
What was about? Wasn't it about her, like, marriage and stuff?
Yeah,
I get it.
He couldn't accept her for who she was.
I don't think so either. He was always trying to make her be less. Don't ever let anybody make you be less.
Even family.
Exactly. Should we just
go into it? Because yeah, that was a good segue.
It really was.
Hey, thanks for listening to 30 Dirty and Dying, the show for millennials by millennials. We get real about chronic illness, burnout, nostalgia, and why we aren't exactly thriving. If that sounds like you, join us every Thursday for new episodes. Now, back to the show.
Today we're talking, like, cutting people off, going no contact, and, you know, I think one thing that I'd start out with is just saying that I don't think it's anything that anyone takes lightly.
Mm-mm.
I think sometimes, because it's becoming more in, like, the everyday conversation now, but I feel like people, maybe from past generations who think it's fucked up, because you can't cut them, they're your family, they're your mom, they're your dad, whatever. I think their thought is that you just are, like,
suck it up.
Having a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And that you're mad, so in my experience, that's how no one does it.
Yeah.
To go from just, like, I'm not happy and maybe avoiding a little bit to going full-blown no contact. Like, that's a decision to make, and there are a lot of steps that go into that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that people do lightly, I don't think.
Yeah, I've only gone, like, absolutely no contact with one person.
Okay.
Because they were terrorizing me.
Yes. And this was not a family member, correct?
It was not a family member. Other people I have just stopped making the effort.
Right.
Therefore, we are not talking.
Yes.
If they reach out to me, I will most likely respond.
Right.
But I'm not being the sole communicator like I was.
Yeah.
Therefore, I am no longer talking.
Right. See, I've gotten into contact with several people, like a large group of family that I feel like is toxic and not okay. Mm-hmm. And I did that when I was like a teenager. And basically it was just me, because we weren't like close, but I was just like, I made a decision. I was like, I don't want this influence in my life.
Yeah.
So I blocked as many people as I possibly could from everything and was like, don't give them my number. Don't talk. Like, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And it hasn't really been a big deal. Like, as far as specific people, I did not do that again. Go no contact until I was an adult. And I have no contact with one of my parents. Not my mom, so. But that, again, was a decision that was several years in the making.
Yeah.
You know, that was not something that was done lightly.
That, and it's most recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it never had a good relationship. Always kind of knew that was how it was going to go down, but delayed it for a long time. And part of it was, you know, my parents were together, my parents were not together. Together, they were very off and on. But then it really became more about, like, as much as I knew certain things about my dynamic with my dad, it was really, to make it that severe was not something I did lightly, even though I never really questioned that it should be done.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, I knew it would happen, but there were parts of it that were hard.
I mean, it's your dad.
Yeah.
Like, it's still difficult to, like, because you want it to be better.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you have to accept people for who they are.
Yeah.
And as much as I wanted this parental figure in my life, that was not him.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I couldn't, having a dad and having this dad, you know what right. I mean? And the way I think about it is, like, especially when it's, like, a family member or a close family member, like a parent or a sibling or whoever, is if they were anybody else,
it would be easy.
Yeah, like,
well, it wouldn't be looked down upon.
Yeah, if it was a friend or a significant other, or, like, not, if it was anybody else and they behaved us this certain way that makes you feel like this, treated you this way, whatever your reasons are, no one would say, oh my god, but
they'd be like, I totally get it.
Yeah,
like, they're treating you shouldn't poorly,
have them in your life.
Yeah, but because it's family.
You add some shared genetic material in there, and all of a sudden it's like, but you shouldn't. And it's like, why I not? Try to think about it at this point after having some experience with it is like, that shouldn't matter. I understand it making it a bigger decision.
Yes.
Sure. But once you have gone through all the steps of deciding if there's anything else to salvage, if there's not, that shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts about it? You said you had one good experience with it.
Good.
Well,
I was
full circle experience.
Bullied and harassed.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you made that decision being it not a family member? And I know you need to be vague, but be vague. Use different names, whatever.
So it was literally my best friend. Well,
yeah.
One of my best friends.
You guys were really close.
Technically, I am like definitely no contact with one of them. Not making an effort for the other.
Yeah, but this person, I remember you guys were very close.
Yeah, I lived with her.
Yeah.
So, it was just like a flip.
Yeah.
So quick, because, and I feel like I didn't even handle things poorly. I think I did a pretty good job. Like, if it were a couple years before, I probably might have reacted poorly to it.
Yeah.
But because, like, we were adults at that point.
Yeah.
Like, if this were, like, high school friendship, it would have been a whole nother story. But, like, I feel like I actually handled things pretty well. But, yeah, so, like, we lived together. I moved in with her and her fiancé at the time.
I remember.
And I knew that they fought a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, look, if I move in and something happens.
Right.
I will be stuck because it's his place.
Right.
Not hers.
Right.
And she was like, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. I'm like, okay. Because, like, I didn't pay a whole lot to live there.
Right. I remember you.
So it's such a long story, and I'm going to try to shorten it as best as I can. Plot twist. They broke up.
No!
And another plot twist. I stayed.
Yeah, and she suddenly was offended.
I liked him. Yeah. Like, he wasn't a horrible person.
No. Relationships end, you know?
Yeah. And she, like, I remember when they would fight, like, I would hide in the stairwell to, like, listen. And sometimes they brought me up. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I was the child, right? I'm like, don't pull me into this. Like, what about Courtney? I'm like, I don't fucking know, man. But no, so, like, it was a little awkward at first with me and him. But then, like, we made it work. Like, it was fine. We were just roommates. It was fine. And, like, they were roommates. Because of the situation that I was put in, I wasn't going to be a dick to him. Like, it was his house, and I lived there, and I needed to make it okay until I could figure out where I could go.
And I will say, I met him. I don't know him, you know, but just, it was cool of him to not be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, he was nice about it.
Yeah, and understanding of,
and I appreciated it.
So, you know, if you don't have beef with him, why make
some? Yeah, and I'm not a vegetarian, so I ain't fucking scared of him.
That's not the lyric at That's all, not but the lyric. Good luck.
So I was going to be nice to him.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be a dick. So at one point, I had liked one of his statuses on Facebook. And shit hit the fucking fan quick. Oh,
just petty shit.
Just petty shit. And then it just, like, turned. And right, I think before that happened, she started posting with an ex of mine.
Waldo,
okay.
Where is he?
Where is Waldo?
Who fucking cares?
And Waldo, which was really funny to me, because when I was talking to Waldo, she would talk so much shit about him. But at this point, I was long gone.
Because I remember this, and you didn't give a shit that they got together.
You were
like, I don't care. Because you guys weren't like, I mean, I know you weren't together, but you weren't like together.
No, and at this point, I was back with Mike.
Yeah.
So, like, I zero fucks given, right? And, like, when I saw that they were, like, posting stuff together, I was like, hey, like, what's going on with that? Like, just curious.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, like, he's just, like, helping me, like, a guy's perspective of the breakup. And then they, like, posted a picture together. And I'm like, you can tell me. Like, it's okay. Like, I hope that things are okay. Yeah. Like, if you guys want to talk, you can talk. She's like, no, just friends, blah, blah, blah. I was like,
Making it a thing.
And I'm like, whatever. Literally the least of my worries.
Yeah.
And then the whole I liked the status, all hell broke loose, started saying that, like, I was breaking into their home, I was egging their cars, like, crazy shit that I wasn't doing, and I felt so bad, because, like, I was friends with his sister.
Yeah.
Like, the...
As was I.
Yeah. And, like, there was one point, like, I was with Mike, like, hours away, right? And the sister had, like, because we were friends, texted me, and she was like, hey, where are you right now? I was like, oh, I'm, like, here. And she was like, okay, so then they are lying. And I'm like, what are they saying now? Because they started putting her in the middle of it.
Yeah, which
sucks. And, like, causing issues with her. And I'm like, that's not fair to you, because that's your family.
So it was like, you were being, like you said, harassed.
I had to block all of them on everything. Like, when I blocked the phone number, I ended up having to block her. Like, I changed my email.
I want
to
talk about this part of it. Because
she was emailing me.
Because, like, we understand, like, I get why she was, like, completely coming at you, like, attacking you. And it was causing problems with other people at that point.
Which is not fair.
So, like, when you decided, I have to completely cut off from this person, what made you do that, and how did you go about it? That's what I'm curious for, with, like, a friend.
As soon as she started saying that I was doing things that I wasn't.
Yeah.
Is like, we can cut it off.
Right.
Like, you can talk shit all you want. Like, she was saying stuff like, oh, like, you're harassing us and, like, whatever. But when she started saying that I'm physically doing something when I'm not.
Accusing you of crimes?
Accusing me of crimes?
Yeah.
That's when I'm just like, no thanks. So, like, that's when I blocked them on everything. Every person that, like, could have potentially... Right? So, like, I blocked phone numbers, all of that stuff, and then ended up going to email.
Right.
So I ended up changing my email.
Right.
Because I'm just like, I can't have you doing this.
Yeah.
It was still sometimes happening to the point where, Like, when Mike and I got engaged and I started our, like, wedding registries.
Yeah.
She would, I did a Target one. And everything ended up starting to be marked as purchased.
Yeah.
The names that were being used were people who had died. Like, my mom and my grandma.
Oh, my God.
And, like, people that she knew that we knew together.
Yeah.
So I knew it was her.
Right.
So I had to get rid of our Target registry.
I remember this, actually.
But the thing is, though, like, after Mike and I got married, like, nothing's really happened.
The thing is, it's like, when someone is so relentlessly harassing you and making your life miserable, whether it's directly like that or indirectly like it is for other people, you have no choice. And it's... People say, like, no contact is extreme. Why don't you just leave them alone? But they won't sometimes. Yeah, they won't. And that's where it seems like that was definitely the case here.
Yeah, like, I had to change everything.
Yeah, that's
and wild. Like, and I lost a friend because of it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that makes people decide to go no contact when it's one thing if it's affecting you really horribly, mm-hmm. but most of us are really bad at putting ourselves first. But when it starts to affect other people, like, one thing that made me decide that I needed to do that to, like, move forward in my life was I was like, I don't want this dynamic mm-hmm. to affect my partner. And I was like, I don't want this to affect him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this to affect our family. Yeah. Like, I don't, and nothing was, like, happening to, but just, there's a whole thing. It creates this whole toxic environment when you have somebody in your life that you feel the need to be no contact with. Like, again, it's not happening lightly, and it's not happening in a vacuum. Thanks for listening to 30 Dirty and Dying. We really appreciate your support, and if you want to keep up with everything we're doing both on and off the air, you can find information at the link in our bio on TikTok and Instagram at 30 Dirty and Dying. We've got affiliate links if you want to support the things we're doing outside the show. You can get in touch with us, find playlists that we've made, and everything else that you need to keep up with your favorite millennial podcast. Now, let's get back to the show. There's a big difference between going no contact and just sort of
separating
a little bit.
Which is what I'm doing with my dad.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. I still have him on, like, social media and stuff. But yeah, so, like, I'm not no contact.
Right.
It's just, I'm not trying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so weird, though. Like, obviously, I've said before, like, both my parents were alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
Dad still, like, made sure he had jobs, made sure he, like, paid for things, like, made sure that we still, like, could do what we needed to do.
Yeah.
I got to do karate, like, I still got to do some extracurriculars.
Right.
Because, like, he was able to provide for that. So, like, we were fine for most of the time. Like, obviously it's traumatizing to, like, get into a car accident with him and, like, having to take the keys so he talks to the other person, like, being an adult and taking care of him.
Yeah. A lot of things can be happening at the same time, I think. Yeah. Is.
But more recently it's gotten to the point where I'm just tired of trying to have a relationship as an adult.
Yeah, I feel that way about my dad. Like, he was around. I just feel like it's two different worlds because as an adult, I've been able to dive into a lot of his motivations for doing whatever he mm-hmm. did or did not do. And knowing that with the full picture
mm-hmm.
changes things. Yeah. Like, all the other things he did or didn't do or is. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's part of what went into my decision. But I get what you're saying of, like, not necessarily worst thing in the world ever that would make you go no contact. But as an adult, you have to get away from that to make your decision of how your relationship goes.
Yeah. So, like, it got weird.
Yeah.
To where, like, it wasn't let's meet up for breakfast or let's meet up for dinner. Like, it's not talking to me at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, weird. And then I ended up getting a letter in the mail from him that pretty much was, you know, like, with alcohol, AA, like, they have to, like, do their steps.
Yeah.
And, like, this step was, like, apologizing or whatever. And I got a letter from him that was, like, really heartfelt. And, like, I cried reading it. And I'm just like, this is our chance to get back to, like, where we were.
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as I read it, I called him. And I was just like, I got your letter. Like, I think we should, like, work on this. Like, let's get together. Like, let's have dinner. And he was like, okay, like, I'll let you know my schedule. And I was like, okay, just, let me know and we'll, like, figure it out. Never heard from him. Then we got married, Mike and I.
Yeah, I remember. I was there.
You were there.
About 45 seconds.
So, like, that happened, and I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Over it. Wedding happens. We're about to do the daddy-daughter dance.
Yeah.
And the mother-son dance.
Yep.
So I go up to Dad, and I'm like, we're about to do this. And he's like, we're leaving. And he left.
That's so fucked up and selfish.
And I'm like,
you couldn't stay for 3 minutes and 29 more seconds?
And I worked so fucking hard to find the perfect dad song that wasn't about my I'm a daddy's girl
yeah.
type of, like, wedding dance.
Yeah.
I found the perfect song that's just like, you're a dad. I worked so hard to find it, and I didn't even get to dance to it.
I literally remember, I don't mean to take away from when I was, like, going to be married to someone that time in my life, and we talked about wedding stuff and whatever, and I didn't want to get married at all, and I didn't want to do any of that, but when that part came up, I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? Like,
yeah.
Am I gonna play Limp Bizkit?
Just one of those days!
I think I picked just, like, one of, I looked up, like, the lists, and I found the least one that was, like you
Daddy's
said, like,
girl.
Super gushy and yeah. whatever, and it was Elton John, and it was your song, and I was like, I love Elton John. He loves Elton John. It's a nice song, but it's not really about that. It's yeah. just a nice song. Mm-hmm. And okay.
Yeah.
And then good news. I didn't marry that fucking guy. And I met a guy who didn't want to get married at all.
Perfect.
So it works out.
Yeah. So yeah. So like he just left.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I didn't get a dance with Dad.
That sucks.
And I'm like, I'm not going to try anymore.
Well, that's a pretty like, this is what I'm saying. Some of the other stuff that happens, like, I'm not trying to take away from his process. I think some stuff can be really performative. And if you're not willing to actually go out of your way to do anything beyond a performative grand gesture that makes you feel really fucking good, then you're not willing, you're not really doing your part to have a real relationship with someone.
It was easier for me to just, like, not try at that point.
Yeah.
Like, if he'll message me on Facebook, I'll message back.
Keep it kind of...
Yeah, like, I'm not saying never. Like, I'm not gonna cut it off forever.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know, like, he has his own set of issues. And I don't think he is purposefully being a bad dad. Because of other things that he goes through.
Well, maybe that's true.
I don't want to completely go no contact because it's not like he's trying to manipulate me.
Well, and there's some of the difference, too. That's a decision you have to make.
Yeah.
As how much of this is hurting you, hurting your life, hurting things you want to do, and how much can you deal with and how much can you not?
And it's not. It's not hurting my life. Like,
yeah.
I'm not, I don't have to make decisions based off of him.
Exactly. Whereas in my situation, I certainly had to do that.
Yeah.
And it's part of what went into me being like, it has to be all or nothing. Yeah.
But it's not like, I'm not going to go out of my way to have a relationship when it's clear that he
isn't
necessarily doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I don't know if he doesn't care or if he just doesn't think about it.
It doesn't matter though. He's not doing it.
He's not doing it. He's not being
it.
A dad.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So that's why I'm just like, whatever. And then I found this. It's actually from a book.
Okay.
I saw it on TikTok, but it's a screenshot of a book. It says, the phone doesn't work both ways because he never calls, and a child should never have to beg their father for a relationship. I am an afterthought, like an acquaintance he's lost touch with. I am the last thing on his mind. So don't tell me the phone works both ways to shame me into accepting his half-assed efforts as a father. And then there's, in this, it also says, I've called and called and called since I was a child and he never answers.
Yeah.
If I called, he would answer. I don't doubt that, but...
The sentiment
is, like, he is not being a father.
Well, and that's what I mean. It's not anything that happens is performative and only runs so far where it's convenient. And if it isn't, it's not happening. No, I understand what you mean, though, about just, like, there is that level between being somebody's punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
And going completely no contact. And that's just sort of removing yourself.
Yeah.
And hoping that there's not a giant blow up or something crazy that makes you have to go the rest of the way.
And I don't think there will be, at least for me.
Yeah. I've just realized collectively over the last few years that this is not a great person. And this is not a person I want in my life. And I'm not mad about some things, but I don't feel good about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not out of being pissed off or being mad or wanting anything bad for that person. You know, it can be a slippery slope depending on what kind of person you're dealing with. So I've been on both sides of that and every part of that kind of spectrum, I guess.
Yeah. Obviously, the no contact from being harassed, I had no choice.
Yes.
Because they weren't listening to logic. I actually have another quote
about that.
It says, me trying to explain how some people will never reach out and speak to you again because they don't have the maturity to cope with the fact that they did you wrong and you didn't deserve it. Since they lack accountability, they will create a false narrative about you so they don't feel guilty.
Yeah.
Which is literally what happened because I didn't do anything. But then all of a sudden, I'm breaking and entering and I'm egging them and I haven't done a single thing. It's easier for me to be the bad guy because they were harassing me.
It's literally like putting a mirror in their face all the time to show them the consequences of their own actions.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't deal with it.
But like, I never wished ill of them.
That's such an important part of this that I don't think people understand.
And I'm glad, I am very glad that they, if they have a great relationship, good for them. Like, I didn't want them to be in a bad relationship. If they have kids and they're happy, that's so great.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if great for them. Like, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, totally.
It's so, like, I don't want, like, I never wanted it to be, like, this petty thing.
No, and that's what I mean about both the situation of, like, trying to just be separate but not go no contact, but also the going no contact part of it. Most of the time, people don't, it's not this like gotcha or wanting to hurt the other person.
Yeah.
It's wanting to protect yourself.
Yeah.
I don't sit around and think like, I hope something terrible happens.
Absolutely not.
To the people that I've gone no contact with, but also the people that I've been in those in-between phases with. I have no ill will. I hope you're fine, I guess. I don't think about it very much. I'm not sitting there wanting anything negative for you.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. When you go no contact with someone, it's not about them.
No.
It's about you. It's about what I'm choosing to do for my life and how I'm choosing to be okay and move forward in my life effectively. And yeah, I can't because of you, but I don't want to do anything to you. I want to do something for me. It's literally not even about you at this fucking point.
No, it's just, I need this for me, and I hope you the best.
Yeah. So I found a couple things about no contact, like, from, I think this is from Psychology Today or something.
Psychology Today.
It's by somebody named Gina Wagner. It's like a op-ed kind of thing. It's like an opinion piece, but it's on Psychology Today. And what drew me to it was, the subtitle is Personal Perspective, Going No Contact Isn't Trendy, It's Survival. And I think that's important because it's more talked about now and it's more, which I think is good that we're talking about it and that it's not this like super taboo thing and that it's an option for people.
I think that's because people these days are more aware of our mental health.
Yes.
So we are quicker to realize when people are not good for our mental health, and we are more willing to let it go.
Well, and this, so one of the topics here was, is estrangement trendy, or are we just more aware? And the writer said, some experts suggest that while estrangement has always been a phenomenon in families, it's only recently being publicly acknowledged and analyzed in a significant way. Because before, I feel like when I was growing up and there were people who were no contact with the family, like the extended family, it was, people just made them out to be, like, fucking weirdos, and, like, they're, and now I'm the fucking weirdo. But it's, people made them out like they were doing something wrong, and if you were the no-contact person, I feel like you were maybe ashamed, like, you felt like you did something wrong.
Yeah.
By not being able or not wanting to put up with it anymore. Like, nobody was shouting that shit from the rooftops. And now, I think it's, I'm not saying we have to shout it all the time, but if we can't get past the stigma of it and the shame of it, it's not going to be effective. And that's what this next part says. Family estrangement flies in the face of what we're taught as children. Honor your parents. Family is forever. Blood is thicker than water. Yet people don't usually choose estrangement out of rebellion, resentment, or lack of forgiveness. They do it for their safety and emotional well-being. and the well-being of generations that will come after. And some a therapist's like piece of advice here is, you can forgive a thief, but that doesn't mean you have to give them a key to your house. That's it right there. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to not forgive them or resent them. You can do all that good work.
Yeah.
But you don't have to let them continue to ruin your life.
Yeah.
You don't have to continue to let them hurt you. I can feel, and it's not easy for the person who goes no contact either.
Because it hurt them so much to the point where they felt they had to.
Yeah. Like, there was one thing here that I wanted to, so this was like a list of things that might happen as you go no contact, and I didn't keep all of them, but one was, you will doubt your decision, and you will question yourself until you fully heal, which it creates a lot of inner conflict.
Yeah.
And you're always going to wonder if you're being too extreme, or if you're being the problem, or you're not being fair. And this is, an unloved child, by default, doesn't have a lot of self-worth or self-trust. Going no contact will feel impossible, and that's okay. And it's not something that will be done easily. And that's fair. Like, even though I have not had a good relationship with my parent that I've gone no contact with ever, and that I've known that we will go no contact, and that I did not want him in my life, and I accepted him still being in my life for a while, I didn't have to, but I did.
For your mom.
Yeah, for my mom, for my other parent. Even though I knew those things, and when the time came where I could go no contact, there's still been a grieving process.
Yeah.
It's still hard. It's not something that I enjoy having to have done, you know? And that's, this next part says, it's not a linear healing process. It takes as long as it takes, which may be years.
It's grief.
Yeah, it's grief. It says allow yourself to grieve and to practice self-compassion and self-care. And more often than not, you will find yourself adrift and alone after going no contact with a parent. People will judge you, insist you work on a relationship. But the thing is, an abuser or a narcissist or whatever has no desire to change. You cannot have a relationship with someone who is constantly looking for ways to hurt you or undermine you. So it's like, I've grieved it.
Yeah.
I have, and there are times, even though it's been over a year at this point, I think, since I've made the decision and have enforced it, I grieve and I wish it didn't have to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it does, so I can't change my mind because I feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to keep going and do the work on my end to make it okay. But like, yeah, I've had moments, especially like during the holidays and stuff. I, you know, it was like my dad and I had a lot in common. Some stuff that has caused a lot of therapy, but superficial shit, you know, like interests and things. And sometimes at like holidays and stuff, we would end up kind of clumped together and talking about something or watching something. And there have been a few times since all this that it's been like, it's kind of funny. It's like my mom and Justin would clump,
mm-hmm.
and then my dad and I, because my mom and Justin are like the same fucking person. People say you marry your dad. No, I married my mom. My mom. But yeah, they have a lot in common, so they really get along, which is awesome, and I love that. But a few times they've like clumped when it's just the three of us now, which is great. And I'm not, but then they're, I don't know. You're just like, I think about it.
You miss that.
I notice it.
Yeah.
The other thing about going no contact or putting some space between you and a person that's not really great is you can, after a while, really separate out, like, appreciate the good times without giving them a pass for shit. Like, things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's easier to realize that and to not constantly justify bad behavior and shit on your own good memories when you get some space.
Yeah.
So, I guess to wrap up, if you're somebody who's thinking about going no contact, who's going no contact, who maybe this is your first Thanksgiving no contact and it looks different, we get it.
Yeah.
And there are resources out there, you know, to help you kind of navigate some of this. I would always recommend talking to someone, and mental health is for everyone, not just the extreme situations. If you're having trouble navigating something and you want to talk to someone, do it. If you want to talk to us, we're not professionals. It's in every disclaimer.
I'm a social worker, so.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not licensed. Trained.
I'm not licensed. Not licensed.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to, you know, weigh in on this conversation with us, feel free. You can get in touch with us on TikTok and Instagram.
Slide into our DMs.
Yeah, slide into our DMs. We'll talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving. But yeah, I hope you're having a good holiday, and I hope that this conversation helps somebody, or at least helps normalize this thing that happens to a lot of us, especially as we get older and create our own lives and families, you know?
Yeah.
So, do you have any final thoughts, Courtney?
No.
Okay.
I think we said it all.
I think so. So we will see you guys next Thursday. Just heads up, we're getting close-ish to the end of the season.
Crazy.
At this point, we have a few more episodes to go. So for all things, you know, end of season, anything else that we may or may not be doing as we get closer to the holidays, you know, make sure you're following us at 30 Dirty and Dying on TikTok and on Instagram. And if you haven't, please, you know, rate us, review us on your platform of choice, and share us with your friends. We really want to keep doing this, and your guys' support makes that possible and means a lot to us at the same time. So please, yeah, that's what we want for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for the holidays, our gift from you guys is listens.
Listens and ratings
and shares and
all that stuff. And, you know, we're thankful for you. You're our, well, my favorite thing at Thanksgiving is a tie between deviled eggs and stuffing.
Ugh.
So y'all
I'm
are my.
I'm a slut for a deviled egg.
Yes. We're sluts for you. Y'all are our deviled eggs and our stuffing and our rolls and our cranberry sauce and all the good stuff. So
all the carbs, all the things.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here with us. We're thankful for you, and have a great holiday.
Bye. I want them to scoop me raw.